Today we are going to be studying Thou Shalt Not Kill, God's commandment. We are in Exodus 20, and that is God's law that he left with Moses and has passed on, and we are so fortunate that we can again open the Word and study that law. Before we go into that portion of Scripture or the teaching of it and what it really means for us today, let us open in a word of prayer. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the privilege of taking the Word of God. You have given it through Moses. When the law was given at Mount Sinai, you spoke to Moses, and it is recorded for us to learn from. We can experience this blessing by reading your law today. The text today talks about and takes us back to Mount Sinai, where you wrote with your own finger on a stone. It is so beautiful to think that God gave his people written instructions to obey. We know, and I believe it is in Exodus 31, verse 18, where Moses held those two tables of stone, the testimonies, in his hand. And so we thank you for that today, Lord. I pray for your servant today that he will be able to expound on the Word of God and that the Word of God will give clarity about the Word of God. We thank you for this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask, I'll start with a question. We are here at a Bible study. So why was the law given? We have been studying the Ten Commandments, God's laws. So why was the law given? To bring us unto Christ, yes. To teach people God's way, exactly what Frank said. To teach people God's way. To bring us to Christ. And we often look at laws as something negative or bad. And I am guilty of that. The law was given not for negative reasons, but for positive reasons. So we, with others, can get along and know how to live together. That is really why the law was given. So we know how to get along and live together as God's people. So it is a positive thing that we can live together in harmony. We have instructions, parents to children, children to parents. And in the church setting, we have God's laws, so we know how to get along. When you hear the law, it reveals the truth about yourself. The law of Moses revealed man's sin. When you read, "Don't do that," then you start thinking, "But I've done that." It reveals that I have fallen short. It reveals that I have fallen short. The law stirs up the nature in us. It tells you something about yourself. You take the laws on the road. For instance, speeding signs, the laws. Sometimes that gets our goat. That tells me a little bit about myself. And they're there for our protection, especially God's laws. And that's why Paul says in Romans 7, verse 7, "For had I not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet." When I paraphrase that, it would say, I would not know sin except it were for the law. That's what Paul says. I would not have known sin except it were for the law. Read Romans 7:7 for yourself. But we know the law. Then Paul also says in Galatians, let's just turn our Bibles to Galatians 3, verses 11 to 12. Or 11 and 12. We know when I talk about the law, we know that we are as believers now that we have accepted Jesus Christ and we know grace and mercy. We know that we are not under the law. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." There's really the two covenants, the old and the new. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. No man, according to Scripture, is justified by the law. We are justified by faith and not by the law. But it does reveal our need. And we are now dealing with a section in Exodus 20, chapter 20, this precepts of the law. And it expands into chapter 21. This thou shalt not kill has actually caused me to study Exodus chapter 21, where the precepts of the law are continued. When I think of the word thou shalt not kill, that's what we read in the King James Version. Then, if you read, and I won't go there right now, in Exodus chapter 21, you will see that there God commands killing. So it caused me to study, and most Bibles actually say, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. And it means this commandment here is, thou shalt not kill or murder. It is that we are not to kill someone intentionally for personal reasons or gain. It does not include corporate or things like war. If you study deeper, you will get a different picture of what these laws are continued in Exodus chapter 21. And I'll leave that for some other time. We as believers tonight, we are reading in the Old Testament the book of the law of Moses. And if you are a Christian that has grown in his faith, then you will know that through the New Testament, it says that we are not under the law. We are not under the law. It means that we are not under the covenant of the law. Let's read John chapter 1, verse 17. John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." That is a comparison of the two covenants. Though we are not under the law, I'm going to say today, but the underlying truth is that a true believer wants to please God. And that is the purpose of the law, pleasing God. The whole purpose of the law is, number one, what is the purpose of the law, number one? I know you all know it, but today you can participate. What is the whole purpose of the law. Two things. First is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the purpose of the law. And you can read that in those scriptures are found in Mark 12, 30 to 31, and Matthew 22, 37 to 40. So the principles of the law in the Ten Commandments are the first four commandments. I'm just going to sum up a little bit what we've done in the last little while. The first four commandments are man to God. The second six commandments are man to man. So the first commandment tells us who we should worship. The second commandment is how we should worship. And the third, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fourth, remember the Sabbath. And the fifth, honor thy father and the mother. And today, the sixth, thou shalt not kill. Like I said, some versions say murder. This means for intentional taking of life for personal reasons. We need to take it for what it says. It's very important. To God, life is sacred. Why is life so sacred to God? Why is it so sacred to God? Because we are created in His image. So if we believe that life is a gift from God, and we are made in His image, as we read in Genesis 1:27, to take a life is an offense against who? If you take a life, and life is important to God and sacred to God, if we take a life, who do we offend? Anybody? Did you leave your mouth at home? God. Yes, there. If we don't believe, now listen to this, if we don't believe that life was created by God and it happened by accident, then to take a life would be no big deal because there's no moral law attached to it. If it is from God, it is sacred. If we believe it is from God. And that's why he starts with the Ten Commandments, that he is God. There's no other God. And he has given us instructions. If we just believe that it happened by accident, that kind of thinking will result in death, then we don't view death like we should. But death is always viewed by the value we place on life. So today I want to tell you that God places a very high value on life according to Scripture. Thou shalt not kill. Can you tell me today why God places high value on life? I actually gave you the answer before. Why does God place such a high value on life? We are made in His image, after His likeness. And that is why He made this commandment. Thou shalt not murder. You know what God is actually doing here? It's amazing. When you really think of it, he's actually building a fence. If God had never, I've been thinking, if God had never given this commandment, who knows if I would still be alive. But God has actually built a fence around us by giving this commandment. It was for our benefit, for a positive reason. So we take those commandments that we read in Exodus here, in Exodus 20. They're first our relationship to God, and then to man to man, or outward to man. But the last commandment, in Exodus 20, verse 17, and the reason why I'm reading this, because I believe thou shalt not kill in the New Testament goes much deeper than it does here just saying thou shalt not kill. When we think of our relationship, the Ten Commandments, the four, your relationship to God, and the next ones to man, and if you look at them, they're actually outward. But the last one, in verse 17, is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That is internal. Thou shalt not covet. The rest you could perform almost from the outside. So in Galatians 3, verse 24, tells us very clear that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And when I think of the last command, I am brought to the New Testament, Matthew 5, verse 17. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 17. It's here that Jesus, it's a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has drawn multitudes when he spoke this message. And they had been drawn to him by his miracles. And some were concerned, we'll see, about what Jesus would say about the law of Moses. They knew the law of Moses, and now they wanted to see what Jesus would say about the law of Moses. So they were skeptical. They wanted to know what Jesus would say about the scriptures that they had been raised with, or that they knew. And Jesus, in Matthew 5, verse 17, says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, for I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So here they were wondering, what is his, Jesus' relationship to the prophets? They may have been concerned for very valid reasons. Let's just read what Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 4 says. Why would they have been concerned? Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 to 4. And they knew these scriptures. And that's why I believe they maybe were concerned. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonders come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. They knew the inscription, don't hearken unto that prophet. And here they are listening to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve and cleave unto him. They were, what we might say in Matthew chapter 5, examining him as they were listening to him. So what is he going to say about the law? And Jesus talks about the law and the prophets and the Old Testaments. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What does Jesus mean by I am come to fulfill? We that have studied Scripture, there's Scripture, it really means that they are fulfilled. The law and the prophets are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Then if we read verse 18 in Matthew 15, or Matthew 5, for verily I say unto you, now Jesus continues, he says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. And here they're listening. What's he saying about the law? Till all be fulfilled. Jot or tittle means the marks, the smallest marks in the Hebrew letters. I'll explain it that way. I don't know the Hebrew alphabets that well and what that all entails, but it's the smallest little details of the marks and that mean something in the Hebrew letters. So nothing is going to, he's not going to take anything away till all be fulfilled. So here he's really Jesus saying, don't think that the Old Testament will pass away. Scripture cannot be broken. If we continue in verse 19, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. They must have been really listening what Jesus was going to say. For I say unto you, then he continues, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, those that were listening, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says your law, your righteousness has to exceed that of the law. They followed the law. They did the outward thing. I believe that would have changed, that Jesus said, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness. I think that would have changed their view of Jesus. When they hear that, then they must have thought, well, how does anybody get to heaven? But Jesus addressed that in verse 3 and 4. It really talks about repentance. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's about a broken heart, turning around and living your life for Christ. So then if we continue and read verse 21 in Matthew 5, it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. So Jesus knew all this. They were listening. What's he going to say? It was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. They knew if you killed somebody, you would be in danger of judgment. And verse 22, but I say unto you, this is what Jesus now says, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of that I can paraphrase it, of that same judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or empty head, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And that's really what Jesus is trying to drive home a point to them. Must exceed. Jesus uses here six illustrations, and he tells them it must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus here refers to, in this portion of Scripture, if you continue, to the Ten Commandments, and thou shalt not kill or murder. In the list of the Ten Commandments, the second table of the law that deals with our relationship with other people. And the second on that table of the law is the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not murder. However, Jesus is showing us here, obeying God's command is not just an outward action, but an inward attitude. Many of us may have prided or are priding ourselves that we have never killed anybody. And we sometimes think, well, maybe it's not even relevant to that we teach this here because we haven't done anything like that. But Jesus says it's more than an outward action. It's an inward attitude. It's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will today reveal to us, in us, our inward attitude. You may be able to say, I've never murdered anyone, but we all know people that are so angry, people that are bitter, they carry, we might say, a package of grudges all their life. And in their thoughts, it's like, I hate that person. Jesus says, your righteousness must exceed. If you are angry with somebody, you will be in danger of judgment. If you call somebody Raca, or we believe it means fool, today it might mean another word for today, a moron. We hear that from time to time. You shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. I believe that speaks to us today very loudly, that we need to check our inner attitude. People carry grudges, and in their thoughts, it's like they hate that person. I wish that person were dead. So tell me, where does murder start? Anyone, where does it start? Heart. It starts in the heart. Jesus tonight wants us to check our heart. When we've heard people from time to time say, I wish that person weren't around, you know, church, I recall as a young boy visiting with teenagers, my friends, and they would openly say, I wish my dad would croak. I believe that is what Jesus is talking about here. That's where it starts. Jesus goes beyond the outward veneer. Outward, there's a veneer that covers it up sometimes what's inside. Jesus goes beyond that outward veneer or that action down to the very heart of the inward attitude and says, whosoever is angry with a brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Same as killing. You just read the verse before. Verse 21, let's read it again. Just think about it. Ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. They had heard the Ten Commandments. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Then you read in verse 22, the time we are in now, but I say, Jesus, when he came, he says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And then he continues, whoever shall call his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I believe this is something that we need to very, very keenly, through the Holy Spirit, teach our children. I think back in my school years, and the things that children would say to children, and seemingly that was accepted. That was just a joke. But it's not a joke. When you tell somebody he's a fool, Jesus takes that very, very serious. Because that is just like killing somebody. That can hurt somebody. It can destroy them. Jesus is giving us these words for a reason. So parents, you here with children, teenagers, middle-aged, older people, let's be careful how we talk about the next person. Why? Because life is what to God? Anybody? Sacred. Not just my life when I think I'm really a somebody, but everybody. God is no respecter of persons. When you see the next person, God has created that, and he made a fence. He gave us instructions. Don't kill. And then Jesus goes further, and he says it starts in the heart. Don't do this. Don't be angry with them. Don't call them a moron or a fool. We have no right to do that. Jesus was telling them, I disagree with your definition, just the outward action. You say it's an action. I, Jesus, say it's an attitude. The word raka means empty hand, head, and it would be an insult to God if we do that to someone. It's like if we call somebody a fool, it's like having the spite or we might say despite in your heart toward another person. So today, I think it's very important that we check our heart. We check our attitude towards someone else. If you let that linger, if you let it grow, it could cause you to take another person's life. Like murder, I believe Jesus is teaching us very clearly, it starts in the heart. It is the seed. That's where the seed starts growing. If we continue in Matthew there, verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt in no means come out thence," or come away from that situation, "till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Go first, and then come and worship. How many of us would have to first go and make things right, and then come and worship? Today, if there's something like that in your heart about someone, this is a Bible study, we're studying God's Word, and I'm open for comments later. I would encourage us that we take God serious, or Jesus and His Word. We must reconcile. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, according to that scripture. If we refuse to deal with it yourself, you will be in a prison and you will pay the price. Let's read verse 20. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Is our heart right? You know, the law tells us today, what does the law tell us today? The commandment that we are studying today, what does it tell us? Don't kill. It says don't do it. But Jesus came to fulfill that law. Now we have of His Spirit. And grace in the time we're living, in the time, what we as believers, what He's saying is, now the attitude, we don't want to. Someone, maybe even before or even after they're born again, they would like to say, you know, I wish somebody would do away with him. But when Jesus came to fulfill every jot and tittle, now, the way I understand it, now he gives us a spirit and we don't want to. Grace says, now I don't want to. So I want to open up a little bit of discussion about killing. When I think of thou shalt not murder, and what Jesus and God, how they deal with life and how sacred and precious it is to God. What about our laws today? Euthanasia. People can, I understand, I haven't studied it that much, but maybe there's someone here that knows a little bit more about it, but they can actually apply or have themselves done away with in a compassionate way, or made medical assistant dying. And let's not kid ourselves. I believe this is for a reason that we're studying these Ten Commandments. The medical system has a very sly way of offering you these kind of services. And how many people, if you're not awake in your weak time, could fall for this? I believe it is not in our authority to take life, according to Scripture. Yours or anyone else's. What about abortion? According to what we've studied today, I would like to just give you this opportunity to share how do you, if you feel Spirit-led, I think it's good for our people to hear, those that have maybe studied some of this, like MAID and euthanasia. And sometimes I wonder, I think back, when I was young, I know there was all this talk about abortion. And when I see what Scripture says about taking a life, I feel we should have done more. Comments? There's no comments. I'm going to ask a question. Do you feel that we need to be aware of what's going on? Is it something that we need to talk about, or should we just leave it all hush-hush and allow the system, the kingdom of this world, do its thing to believers or with believers? Should we as believers be awake?
Mm-hmm. They never sat back and just let it be and let it happen. I think sometimes we think quiet is godly, but I don't believe quiet is godly. While the enemy is roaring, we're quietly sticking to ourselves. I think that the enemy has made a great foothold in that, where we haven't spoken where we should have, and where we haven't stood up where we should. And maybe where we haven't even cared enough to really bend down and pray and care for the souls that are
or grieved enough. Think of it. The abortions.
I know this one lady walked by on the streets and we were talking about abortion and she got right angry. She said she had 5 abortions and she was all flippant about it. But I think you can be grateful because in Saskatoon they say it's hard to get an abortion. Mm-hmm. So they go to Regina. Regina's easier.
Yep.
So there are, I imagine that's from prayers. There are prayers.
It grieves me that we have to or are even talking about this openly, that our young people have to hear this. I can sometimes hardly talk about it. That's how. And what does God think? Here's a precious life that He's created. And what does man do? If they could hear the voice of God, "Thou shalt not kill," I think that would be a very firm, authoritative voice. And that's what we have. Other comments?
So that poses a question. I think we all agree that we, abortion and euthanasia, that's not the devil. It's wicked. It's, there's no sanctity of life there. What do we do? How do we make our voice known that we don't agree? The airwaves are controlled mostly by the ones that push this. So our voice seems to not be very loud. And then, their humanity. So to us is obvious, but to someone who believes in evolution, it's just a result of the murder is just a result of their belief, right?
Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in God, number one, then life, if you just think it's evolution or it just happened, or then why not? But it's amazing how God has laid out those Ten Commandments. When you study them, I get excited. I'm blessed by having been challenged to study them. I said before, and that's another whole study, and that's what has made me excited about this. If you will continue to read in Exodus chapter 21, it says if you kill someone, you are to die also. There's...
But then they went and killed everybody in Cain, right?
Yes. And if you study Scripture deep enough, there is such a thing as... a corporate. This commandment, like I said before, is for personal. This is for you personally. I believe there is different, and God is still God, and I don't understand it, for the corporate authorities and the laws and capital punishment. You can read in Genesis 9:5. Numbers 35 to 30 to the end of the chapter. It's like if you kill somebody, you are there's different authority, different levels of like Israel now. Is that of God? I feel so sorry for these innocent people, but we know. I know for myself. I'm totally convinced in my heart and have been my whole life. When somebody would ask me to come to war and actually carry a weapon, I've often said it in general talk that I wouldn't be very good, because I hope I would never be able to do that, to kill someone. But does God have people that see that? That's another whole study. Yep.
Right? Now that wasn't murder. That's them executing God's law. They were doing, so whenever God sanctions killing, it's correct.
It's correct.
But when it's unsanctioned, it's murder, it's killing, right? Like when it's a mean revenge against something, right? But going back to your first question on, well, what do we do? We see these abortions, we see euthanasia, we need to stand up. What did Christ do? He gave him the gospel. He came into a pagan, Roman-led city, and he didn't stand up crying for all of his moral laws to be upheld, but rather he said, you know, we need to change our hearts. And that's exactly what we do today as believers, as a church. Our mission isn't to
Mm-hmm. And that will change, right? When the heart changes, you don't have it.
And isn't that amazing how Jesus came to fulfill that when we have Christ and His Spirit, then we don't want to. To me, that's how I understand it. It becomes clear to me.
And only Christ can change the whole society.
Exactly.
I heard today, I was listening to sermon, and this guy said that 30 years ago, there were 2,200 abortion clinics in the U.S. Today, there are 600 and some. And in some states, it's all actually illegal. I think 15, 16, 17 states, it's illegal. So you can see, if Christ is working, even in, let's say, in the United States, in a certain state, he can inhibit.
He can, yep. God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we must believe that He is still... what? God.
But in those states, those people rose up and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In those states, those people still rose up and spoke. And for us, and I'm not saying like band together as a big body and come to a store. This is, no, I'm not saying that at all. But as individuals in every second place that we are, there's lots of people that have no idea the sin of the Lord. They have no idea what that. Like if it's said that, well, they've been lied to, or they've been told that it's the woman's rights, and maybe way down deep if they've covered it way with all this garbage. But if a person stands like, okay, that's murder, and you might get them thinking, and before they see the sin, they won't be looking for the cure for the gospel. So I think there's a balance, like there's a balance of the, like, you've got to show them their sin and share the gospel, share the
Well, when you say thou shalt not kill, you're saying, but I've done that. That exposes them. That's law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It brings us further to the gospel. I would just like to share a few verses out of Psalms 19. Now that we studied this, the law, the Ten Commandments, and God's laws, and even into chapter 21, I was kind of amazed. I read in Psalms chapter 19, the first six verses are about worshiping God. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night and night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set the tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of the chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. His going forth is from end of heaven, and his..." His circuit is unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. It's actually worshiping God. And then in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. I think we need to start appreciating the law of the Lord more. Why? Because the law of the Lord, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We cannot go wrong when the psalmist, he's actually referring to the law. The law of the Lord is perfect. Once more for the last comment, and then we'll go into... prayer. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Our time is running out quickly. I would like to continue studying on that part in Exodus 21. Kind of led me there, and I was. It's amazing what you find in God's Word, and how he reveals himself. Time and time, as we study, he takes us a little deeper and reveals himself. Any, I don't want to leave you with questions. You go out of here, well, I should have asked this, or what about this? Is there anything that you have on your heart that you'd like to share or ask? And if feel free to do that now. I'm gonna have to enter. I just can't quite hear you, but if somebody else can hear you, then they can respond to it.
I'm just wondering, like, God cast judgment upon him, like King David, after he had this order killed. How do we define that in this law of murder? Because that was a definite instruction of having this man killed of a personal nature.
I think if I'm hearing you that God told David to kill somebody, is that what you're saying?
No. David himself devised this plan. And he was anointed by Samuel under the direction of God. Now he was a godly man. And yet he directed a battle for his main soldier under his own evil that he had committed to have him murdered. In that,
I don't know if I'm going to answer you right, but I would answer by saying today we studied about personal, doing the things that God has, this applies to us personally, but corporately, and was King David, that in a, that I don't know exactly what you're referring to, and it might take, is there anybody else that can answer that? There again, that's like I said, God is still God, and he directs certain things in certain ways and allows certain things. But we know, for us, we have clear instructions, I believe. So with that, our time is running out. Is there somebody that we need to pray for? Just give some... The homeless. Okay. We pray for the homeless. Man, can you imagine being homeless tonight? Anything else? We are a very blessed people. We're in a warm building. We came here in warm cars, and we intend to go home in a warm car, and we intend to have a warm night's sleep. God is good. George Bueller had an operation. I think he said it had gone well. He was very thankful. Anything else? Who wants to pray for the homeless? Our young people here haven't said much. Who wants to pray for the homeless? We're giving everybody an opportunity. Anyone? Thank you. Carson? And who wants to pray for George's First of all, praise the Lord that the operation went well, as the way I understood, and we need to pray for recovery, which means God's healing hand upon him. Who wants to do that? Reuben, you know the circumstances, and then I'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful again that we can close this evening with a thankful heart, knowing that you have given us instructions. You have shared with us tonight that life is precious. And you created life, and you honor life, and you bless life. And so we just thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that today you will have spoken to our hearts, that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is not just an outward action. It can very easily be committed in the heart. Lord, I pray that we will not hide under the veneer, but we will come and we will repent. We will confess if there is someone that we are angry with, or we hate, or we call someone, if we think of them as a fool. Lord, I pray that you will forgive us. Lord, help us to grow in those areas, that we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit will continue to convict us and guide us. And so the Word does that, and so the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you lead and guide us in that way, that we can live a life that is honoring and glorifying to you. We thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us. And I think of, as we're praying for different people, I'm just reminded of Henry Martz. He's in the hospital and I believe going through a very hard time. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with him. Uphold him with your right hand, your righteous right hand. Lord, we claim those promises that you will never leave us or forsake us, and he's one of yours, and we thank you for that, Lord, that we know that you're going to be there, that you will extend your grace and mercy to him. Lord, also across from the room was a young man that had been in a car accident and needed prayer, and so, Lord, I pray for that man. I forget his name. I pray, Lord, that you will, first of all, that he will be drawn to you. I pray that he will turn his heart to you and to your laws and your commandments. We know that will heal his soul, as we read in Psalms. I pray that he will turn to you, Lord. I pray that you will bless the service tonight, the Bible study. And Lord, I want to close with a benediction that we find in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank you for coming. May the Lord have blessed the word of God to your heart. And let's keep praying for the next commandment that we're studying next week, Wednesday, I believe. So you're all welcome to come back. So God bless you, and you're dismissed.